Flying the Flag by Alex Shearer, with Dinsdale Landon, Peter Acre, Moya Leslie, Christopher Benjamin and Stephen Greif. In Custody.
Well, can't you do something about it, William?
Well, I don't really know if it's my place, is it, sir?
I don't think it's my place, is it?
Well, I suppose it's either your place or mine.
Well, she's got no place here, William. What does the woman think she's doing? She flies over here from the UK purely in order to traipse up and down outside the embassy, walking about at her sandwich boards like some kind of mobile lunch.
Yes, sir.
Well, we can't have protest marches going on outside our front gates. This is the British Embassy in the People's Republic, not Grosvenor Square back in London.
Oh, yes, yes. Yanks out of Vietnam, eh, sir? Ho Chi Minh, ho.
No, it's nothing to laugh at, William.
No, I didn't mean that, sir.
We are the representatives of democracy in this benighted place. We enshrine the values of liberty, tolerance and free speech. So just go out there and tell her to clear off. Just shoo her away or drive your car at her or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, sir, the press are out there too. You don't think we should maybe just talk to her about what she wants?
Oh, sorry, William. Talk to the woman, did you say? Oh, yeah, well, look at my diary. I may have a free appointment sometime next month.
It's a long time to camp out on the pavement, sir.
But it's all right to inconvenience me, though, isn't it? Well, do you have any idea what it's all about, will you?
Well, you can see the placard yourself,
oh,
sir.
Oh, can I, will you? Well, yes, just give me a leg up, will you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I see. Now, what's on that banner? Liberate Grimsby, will you? I wasn't aware that Grimsby was under siege.
No, it's not Grimsby by the sea, sir. It's Grimsby in captivity over here, sir. George Grimsby, the hostage the terrorists have been holding for the last 17 months.
Yes, of course, him. Yes.
Well, that's his sister out there, sir, and she's doing this to draw attention to his plight. She feels that his case is being neglected, you know, as I understand it, and that the Foreign Office has been rather remiss in its efforts to secure his release.
Remiss in its efforts, William? The Foreign Office? Remiss? Why, the FO's efforts may appear effortless, but a lot of effort goes into them.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, sir, she just feels that we've just forgotten about him and left him to stew.
Left him to stew, William, like so many dumplings. How could she possibly allege that? This is a travesty. Why, I myself have made strenuous efforts. I have thought these past 17 months of nothing but the dreadful plight of George
Grimsby.
General Grimsby. I've constantly manoeuvred behind the scenes, wielding the stealthy weapons of diplomacy behind the arras of intrigue. His file has never been off my desk. But would you pass it to me, William?
Which one is it, sir?
That one, just there. The bottom of the pile.
What, this one, sir?
Yes. just mind the dust. Now, let me see. Yes, there you are. The day after Mr. Grimsby was abducted, you see, I held an emergency press conference in which I deplored all hostage-taking and denounced all terrorist activity.
Yes, he did, sir. Very strongly worded, too.
And then, not 3 days after that, I gave an in-depth interview in which I permitted myself to be photographed in full dress uniform next to my prize onion, when I declared that the taking of hostages by terrorist groups would not be tolerated.
Why, so you did, sir. I'd forgotten about that. Of course, sir, they took another one 3 days later, didn't they, sir? I mean, fine words butter no parsnips,
sir. I am the British Ambassador, William. I'm not here to butter people's parsnips. And far from forgetting Mr. Snosby, I even sent him a Christmas card and a Rubik's Cube via the Red Cross to keep his spirits up, his mind occupied and his hands usefully employed.
Yes, that would have boosted his morale no end, sir.
Well, I'll have a word with Colonel Surikoff and see what can be done. But this woman's unseemly antics aren't going to help her brother. The best thing she can do is to go home and to leave these matters to us. So if you could bring her in and explain that to her...
I think I'd better go out and explain it to her, sir. I don't think she'll be able to come in here. She's just chained herself to the railings.
Oh.
It's just one thing after another.
Yes, I know, Willie. They're called minutes.
It may be, but there's not enough of them in the day.
Or too many in an hour, if your name's George Grimsby.
Who's the flask for?
I'm taking it out to his sister.
Oh, fraternising with the enemy, eh? Ooh-hoo.
I thought, as a British citizen, Willie, that she was one of us.
One of us? God, don't let the old man hear you say that. If she's not in Who's Who, she's not one of anyone. She's an outcast.
I think he's lucky he's got a sister like that to keep his case on the front pages. It's only too easy to be forgotten, like some of those other hostages.
Eh? Which ones are they?
You see what I mean? And it's always the women who are the most tenacious, Willie, who won't let the subject drop.
Yeah, well, of course, women are very good at not letting a subject drop. I must admit. Well, better get to the airport. There's even more experts coming over from the UK to help staggering democracy up onto its feet. Or flat onto its back, more likely.
Oh, you've got quite a jolly time ahead of you then, Willie.
Yeah, still, at least our 9-to-5 chains are of our own making, aren't they? We're only shackled to our desks.
So, what's Mac doing about Mr. Grimsby?
Oh, I think he's taking soundings.
Who with?
You know, one of the great international intellects of the century.
Helen.
Sir?
I'm just going over to see the American ambassador.
Yes, I know, sir. William just told me.
See, now, I once had a posting in the Middle East for a while, Mac.
Oh, yes, Spidey.
So I know all the modus operandi.
Oh, you do, Spidey.
Sure, I know all those guys. They got no concept of the value of human life, Mac. But what can you do? You warned this Bunsby guy, didn't you?
Yes, of course I did, Spidey. I strongly advised him not to go anywhere near the place. But you know what these relief aid workers are like. No thought for anyone but themselves.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Mac.
So off he goes, Spidey, and true to form, the popular front taking prisoner. And I've got the man's sister now camped outside the embassy, accusing us of political amnesia. I mean, it's almost embarrassing, Spidey. I know she only wants to draw attention to the situation, but surely she could do that without drawing attention to it.
No, well. Have you thought of having her arrested, Mac?
Having her arrested, Spidey, for trying to get her brother out of custody?
Well, how about some kind of exchange?
No. We'd never consider a hostage exchange, Spidey. And even if we did, we don't hold any members of the Popular Liberation Front. Who is there they'd want?
Well, they wouldn't be interested in the third Mrs. Weinberg, would they? Because I know she's got a couple of weeks' vacation to...
Spidey, a hostage is a hostage... Indefinitely.
Indefinitely? Oh. Well, that'd be okay.
So, Mr. Ambassador, you were desirous of seeing me.
Well, perhaps desirous is putting it a bit strong, Colonel. More compelled by force of circumstances, I think.
Yes. I, for my part, was compelled by force of circumstances to come.
And what circumstances were those, Colonel?
Thirst, Mr. Ambassador.
Oh.
If you are having a small quencher... Yes, well, I got your message yesterday and came immediately.
Now, may I ask why it has taken you 24 hours to get here, Colonel? After all, I thought bad news traveled fast.
Oh, indeed, yes, Mr. Ambassador, but good news, such as that personified by myself, takes a more circuitous route. Yes, more haste, less lunch, as we say here in the People's Republic.
Ah.
Or should I say the Federated People's Democratic Republic, as it is now called. Yes, democracy is burgeoning all around us here, Mr. Ambassador.
If you can burgeon like yourself, Colonel.
Yes, I'm real burgeon territory.
I'll find you that whiskey, Colonel.
Thank you.
How many fingers would you like, Colonel?
No, I just have the whiskey, thank you.
No, of whiskey, Colonel.
Oh, yes. As your American compatriots say, I will have two fingers of black eye.
Two fingers coming up, Colonel.
You're less than kind. Oh, by the way, Mr. Ambassador, I do not know if you are aware of this, but there is a woman chained to the railings outside your embassy.
Yes, I am cognizant of the situation. Thank you, Colonel.
Yes, it's all very well being cognizant with the situation, Mr. Ambassador. But do you know what's going on?
Oh, yes, Colonel. She's just trying to draw attention to herself.
Oh, best to ignore her, then. But why does she wish to draw attention to herself, Mr. Ambassador?
It's not really herself she wishes to draw attention to, so much as the plight of her brother, Clarence Frumsbury, as you'll remember, the hostage.
Oh, yes, of course. What hostage is that, Mr. Ambassador?
The relief aid worker abducted 17 months ago in the Eastern Province, Colonel.
Oh, that hostage, yes.
The Popular Front took him hostage in order to force central government, i.e. yourself, to concede to the Eastern Province the right to hold a national assembly.
Ah, yes. I believe this was the case, yeah. Well, we do not make deals here, Mr. Ambassador, with terrorists. So if you want to trade your car in...
quite, Colonel, yes. The only thing I notice is that under the new reform procedures, the Eastern Province was granted the right to hold a national assembly 6 months ago.
Ah, so it was, Mr. Ambassador, yes, so it was.
Well, that being the case, Colonel, why is the Popular Front still holding him as a hostage?
Yes, well, perhaps I could have another finger while I think about it.
We shall overcome.
Oh, close the window, would you please, William?
Yes, sir. It's a bit much.
What is that awful wailing out there? Sounds like a dustbin full of cats vying for a kipper.
Yes, it does seem to hit you in the sensitive areas of the eardrum, sir.
Yes, sir, what's going on?
Well, it's Julia Grimsby, sir. She's out there giving Cable News International a few choruses of We Shall Overcome for the 6 o'clock edition.
Well, it's most unseemly, William. In my day, a letter to the Times was protest enough. Oh. Anyway, I thought I heard two voices out there.
Well, you may have done, sir.
Would I be right in thinking the second voice sounded strangely familiar in the upper octaves, William?
Well, maybe, sir, yes. I'm afraid it's Helen, sir. She's gone out and chained herself to the railings as a sign of solidarity.
Chained herself to the railings? But what about her typewriter?
Well, she said she'd been chained to that long enough,
sir. I mean, what about my correspondence, William?
Oh, she'll be back in to do that, sir. She only chains herself to the railings during her lunch hour and tea breaks. She doesn't do it in the firm's time.
Yes, I should hope not. In fact, I'm starting to wonder about Helen, you know, William. I mean, no one could be less of a chauvinist than myself.
Oh, a veritable Germaine Greer among ambassadors, if I may say so, sir. A positive bias. Word for positive discrimination.
Well, thank you, William. And I've nothing against women, because I married one after all, which I think in the circumstances is a fairly sporting sort of thing for any man to do.
Ah, yes, play up and play the game, eh, sir?
Exactly, as you'll find out yourself one day, I'm sure. But you know, William, that Helen... Helen is actually applying for executive officer status in the service.
She might have mentioned it, sir, yes.
I mean, obviously, I had to give her a good report. She's excellent at her work. We have to admit that, unfortunately. But you know what I think is at the back of her mind, William? I think she wants to be an ambassador one day.
Oh, no, sir. Yes. Oh, surely not, sir. Surely not even Helen could be capable of such a monstrous impertinence, sir.
Well, I may have misjudged her, William, but a woman shouldn't be entertaining such fanciful notions. She should be pressing on with her typing or at home with her dustpan and brush.
She's or at ironing her small, sir.
Let's not dwell on that. Now, listen, William, it's been quiet for some time. They must have stopped.
Oh, yes, sir, they have, sir. It's sort of like the sun coming out, isn't it, sir?
Yes. Oh, dear, they've started again. Can't you get rid of that woman, William?
But I really don't think she's going to go, sir, until her brother is released from captivity.
But can't you tell her that we're doing our utmost, William?
Well, I did, sir. She just said she'd heard all that before and, you know, obviously wasn't too impressed by it.
Well, I'm doing all I can, William. I am taking soundings at the deepest levels. Bride noses get any closer to grindstones, cosmetic surgery will be required.
Yes, sir.
I've enlisted the full cooperation of the people's democracy, who are trying to make contact with those who hold the hostages and to clarify their demands.
Who's in charge of the negotiation, sir? Mr. Grimsby's sister was asking me on my way in.
It's Colonel Surikoff, William.
Colonel Surikoff in charge, sir? Oh, well, maybe I won't mention that to her, sir.
No need to depress her, is the William. Best not to add to her woes. Sir Helen.
Sir?
Would you have a moment?
Yes, sir.
I've been meaning to broach this matter for some time, but it's Mr. Gonkey's sister out there. I understand that you've been chaining yourself to the embassy railings alongside her during your lunch hour.
Well, I don't let it interfere with my work, sir.
No. I appreciate that. But just the same, Helen, as you will understand, all this is as so much free-range egg on the ambassadorial visage and could seriously come between a man and his chances of donning the ceremonial knighthood garters.
Well, obviously, I wouldn't want to do anything to come between you and your garters.
What concerns me, Helen, is the chaining yourself to the railings in your lunch hour. Well, I fear these activities could be construed as incompatible with your diplomatic status.
Well, I did consider that before I got involved, sir. But I reasoned that being a woman and a member of the clerical staff at the Foreign Office, my status is probably non-existent. In fact, I've never been aware of ever having any.
Oh, yes, Helen, yes. I'd quite forgotten about that. It's an interesting line of argument.
In fact, in terms of status here, sir, I've always had the impression that I was about on a level with a cleaning lady's bucket, sir. And so I can hardly compromise my diplomatic status when I haven't got any, sir.
Yes. Well, I must say you put up a very convincing case, Helen, as far as your personal insignificance is concerned.
So can I carry on, then, with my lunch hour activities?
Oh, yes, you carry on, Helen. Don't you worry about anything. I'm sure most people won't even notice you're out there. Probably look straight through you, I should think, Helen. Totally ignore you and disregard everything you say.
Just like being in here, really, sir.
Yes, it is cold, isn't it? Yes. Anyway, perhaps when you've finished putting your padlocks away, you could pop the kettle on.
Yes, sir. It'll be a pleasure.
It's no joke, really. Oh, is it, sir? I mean, the waiting...
Nobody is saying it's a joke, William. Nobody is even thinking it.
I mean, getting taken hostage like that, sir, caught up in some conflict that's not your own. More tea, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you, William. Yes. But I didn't ask Mr. Grimey to go up to the Eastern Province, as I keep telling everyone who seems to see me as the culprit in this matter.
Probably held underground in some cellar, sir. Pinned up in a little cage where a neon light burns all night. Stripped of freedom and friends, without dignity or privacy. Scratching lines on the wall for a calendar to mark the slow passing of the day.
Yes. All right, William.
Slops for food, a bucket for a toilet, a plank for a bed.
Yes, all right, William, all right. I did advise him not to go. That was all I could do. He was a free agent, not at all.
Pacing like a lion in a cage across that few feet of concrete that comprise your world. Well, I mean, it may sound a bit stupid, sir, but you know, since this Grimsby business, I went home the other night and, you know, I've got a canary now. Sir.
Yes, I'd heard, William, that you required one. I wouldn't get involved in these local card games if I were you.
I was watching him last night, sir, because, well, it wasn't much on television, and, I don't know, but I just couldn't bear seeing him in that cage anymore. So I let him out. Do you know... He's afraid to come out at first.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Well, I admit I hadn't tied it up for a few days, but he did come out eventually.
Oh, good. I am pleased.
Well, I couldn't put him back then. So I just let him have the run of the flat now. He's a bit messy, but that's not what's important, is it, sir? It's freedom that matters. I mean, I think nothing that's alive should be in a cage. Well, I think Mr. Grimsby is a lucky man, really. And having a sister like that, I mean, somebody who fights, somebody who won't give up on you, sir, somebody who'll never stop.
Do you think you'll ever stop, William?
God bless the hostage who's got his own, I say, sir.
Yes, William, well, as you sit in your flat and watch your liberated canary scatter its largesse about the carpet, you could do well to bear in mind that the culprits in this case are not the British Foreign Office, but the terrorists who took Mr. Grotty hostage in the first place. And while I will do everything within my power to remedy man's inhumanity to man, I'm afraid that man's inhumanity to canary is rather outside of my province. This biscuit's a bit stale, isn't it, William?
That's my cuttlefish bone, sir.
Colonel Surikoff to see you, sir.
Ah, Mr. Ambassador.
Ah, Colonel.
Mr. Ambassador, I came post-haste.
From what I seen of your post, Colonel, haste is the last word I'd use in connection with it.
Yes, I must concede that the service has deteriorated since we made the improvements. But in fairness, Mr. Ambassador, it was your own Western experts who recommended that we adopt the Sunday collection.
Yes, but they didn't mean Sundays only, Colonel.
Nevertheless, these trivial matters aside, I have made contact with the Popular Front, Mr. Ambassador, and have received news of Mr. Grimsby, straight from the dog's breath.
Oh, good, Colonel. Excellent. What happened exactly?
Well, first I had to arrange a clandestine assignation.
Not for the first time, I'm sure, Colonel.
I put the point to the terrorists straight away that as they had won their demand 6 months ago for a National Assembly, why were they continuing to keep Mr. Grimsby as a hostage?
And what did they say, Colonel?
Well, they can't really remember.
They can't remember why they're holding him hostage.
No, not only that, Mr. Master. They can't quite remember where they are holding him hostage.
We're talking about a human being here, Colonel, not lost luggage.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Master. So I insisted that they refresh their memoirs. And after some telephone calls, they managed to locate him and assured me he is in good health and spirits. And he said thank you for the Rubik Cube. He's almost got it open.
Ah, good. So you brought him back with you, Colonel?
No, Mr. Ambassador, no. It is not as simple as that. They said they would like to hang on to him for a while.
Hang on to him, Colonel? Hang on to him? What for?
Well, their feeling, Mr. Ambassador, is that they would like to keep him in case he comes in handy.
Comes in handy? But you can't keep people locked up in cages purely on the grounds that they might come in handy. Won't the Popular Front negotiate?
Yes, Mr. Ambassador, all is not yet lost. And what is lost may yet be handed in at the police station. One thing that may come in handy can always be replaced by another, as long as there is something handy. Handy is as handy does.
Ah, yes. Well, you mean that the Popular Front might accept another hostage to take Mr. Gringy's place?
Yes, this is one of their options, Mr. Ambassador.
Well, plainly I would volunteer myself, Colonel, but I'm needed here, and obviously no one would want you. You wouldn't be any use to anyone.
Hmm. The other thing that could come in handy, Mr. Ambassador, would, of course, be a small contribution to party funds.
No, Ransom, Colonel, we couldn't consider it. It just puts more lives at risk.
Well, the only other alternative, Mr. Ambassador, is Western recognition of their political legitimacy and the right of the Eastern Province to exist as a separate sovereign state. I think that would come in handy indeed. Of course, such Western recognition would merely hasten the fragmentation of the vast empire of the once glorious People's Republic, now degenerating, I regret to say, into the People's Nook and Granny.
Yes, well, it's going to happen sooner or later, Colonel.
Yes, I suppose so, Mr. Ambassador. Well, there you are. The ball is in your court. Oh, and I see the whiskey is in your plant pot again. Perhaps we should have one for the leaves.
But surely it's all very much for fait accompli, sir. I mean, the Eastern Province and all the coastal states, I mean, they're effectively independent and sovereign anyway. So our recognition of them is just a pro forma piece of bureaucracy, sir.
Yes, well, it may be pro forma in some ways, but while this Mr. Whippy has been held incommunicado, we are to an extent acting in locus parenti.
Yes, sir, but if both sides take that attitude, it'll go on ad infinitum.
Well, nil desperandum, William. Ours longer, vita brevis, you know.
Well, maybe, sir, but as far as Mr. Grimsby is concerned, his vita is getting more brevis as every one of his days longer goes by, sir.
Yes, William, we can't just go recognising the sovereignty of breakaway states.
But surely it's a small price to pay for Mr. Grimsby's liberty. I mean, we know we're going to recognise the Eastern Province's sovereignty one day, so why not do it now?
Because, to put it in plain English, William, we can only do so, mutatis mutandi, vis-a-vis vinculi vinicular, by creating some kind of tabula rasa and acting ex officio, which, as anyone familiar with diplomatic precedent and international maritime regulations can tell you, could have severe repercussions for the man under the Clapham omnibus.
What about the man in the cellar with a bucket for his toilet, sir? I mean, what about
him? Oh, there is no need to use his emotive metaphor. William, we all know Mr. Krusty isn't having a nice time. And if you continue in this vein, I will have to warn you that certain in flagrante delictos will be appearing in your curriculum vitae.
Sorry, sir. So what's to be done then, sir?
Well, I think as one of the permanent members of the United Nations, William, we will have to act swiftly, decisively, and courageously, and such will be my recommendation to Whitehall.
Oh, I see, sir. Right, I'm with you. We wait and see what the Americans do. Yes, Uncle Sam, Pat's little nephew, Blighty on the head.
But not at all, William. We do not cut our foreign policy coats from the fustian cloth woven at the White House. It isn't a question of following what America does. It's a matter of leading retrospectively. I think you'll find, when it comes to leading from the middle, that Britain follows nobody. And when it comes to being third from last, William, Britain is second to none.
So, are you going to recognize their sovereignty, Mac?
Why do you ask, Spyro? Are you?
Why do you ask, Mac? If we did, would it make a difference to whether you did?
No, Spyro. No. Why would it make any difference to you if we did?
No, Mac, no. Oh, we do have a fair-sized immigrant community back in the States of Eastern Province origin. And bop with election year coming up.
Yes. Well, I must admit that to have Mr. Scrimshaw released would be quite a diplomatic coup.
Yeah. Well, so, where does that leave us?
Well, did you ever play rugby at all, Spyro?
Rugby? That's like gridiron without the shoulder pads, huh, man?
Yes, that's it, Spyro. Or to put it another way, American football is a sort of rugby without the brains, yes. Anyway, there's just a song I vaguely remember from my varsity days.
Oh, I didn't know you were at the varsity, Mac. I thought you'd gone to Oxbridge. Varsity, huh? I was in Alpha Omega Amstrad fraternity myself in the good old frat house.
Oh, you were in there with all the other frats, were you, Spyder?
Yeah, swell times at Oakley High, Mac. I did my tripos at the Alma Mater, you know.
Yes, I'm sure it was much appreciated, too.
Yeah, I got a blue.
Oh, in rowing, Spyder?
No, in movies.
Anyway, the song, as I remember it, Spyder, which could be of relevance to the present situation, was Singing, I Will, If You Will, So Will I.
And will you, Mac?
Why? Will you?
Yes, Mr. Ambassador, and it is with great pleasure that I can gratify myself by announcing that Mr. Grimsby was handed over to freedom 25 minutes ago by the Popular Front.
Oh, wonderful, Colonel. Tremendous news. I hope there won't be any repercussions from their supporters.
Popular Front supporters? No, I shouldn't think so. They have never been that popular. though I think that Mr. Grimsby's captors were sorry to see him go. His jailer said that had it not been for him and his cheerful high spirits, they could never have survived their ordeal.
Oh, well, get ready to receive him then, Colonel. And I trust that our recognition of the Eastern Province in sovereignty hasn't made things difficult for you.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Ambassador. We have resigned ourselves to disposing of unwanted bits of property. Yet we still have impressive boundaries here in the people's little acre. You could not even fly across the limits of our territory in 2 days, Mr. Ambassador.
Oh, the airline service hasn't improved then, Colonel.
Regrettably not, no. Since the experts came over from your package tour companies to help us improve our airline, things have been totally turmoil in us everywhere.
And what about the British Prison Reform Group, Colonel? Have they been able to give you any sound advice?
Yes, they inspected our prisons, Mr. Ambassador, and said that if we moved out the tables, ripped out the toilets, and squeezed in some bunk beds,
mm-hmm.
we could easily accommodate another 3 or 4 prisoners per cell.
Oh, good. Well, that should help with the rising crime statistics. I'm glad that we've been able to help each other, Colonel.
Indeed, Mr. Ambassador, yes. And now but one thing remains to cement relations between our countries.
What might that be, Colonel?
A nice glass of ready-mixed whiskey.
How is he, William?
Well, he's in pretty good shape, considering, sir. He's down with his sister at the moment. I thought it best to give him some time together.
Yes, William, yes. I thought I'd hold back a little while before I went down myself. I didn't want to overwhelm him with the majesty of my office and the panoply of the ambassadorial personage.
Oh, very considerate, sir. Of course, the media were out there.
Oh, you'd think they could wait 5 minutes.
Yes, and I told them he'd give a press conference in a few days when he'd had a bit of a chance. But no, they couldn't wait. I had to elbow them aside to get in.
How did he take it?
Oh, Mr. Grimsby handled himself very well, sir, especially when this reporter stuck a microphone into his face and said, well, can you believe this, sir? He asked Mr. Grimsby if he was glad to be free, sir.
I don't know what it is with the media, William. They leave no barrel unscraped. And what was Mr. Grimsby's response?
Well, he was immensely self-contained, sir, enormously dignified. He handled the situation with great tact, great diplomacy, sir, yes. He took the reporter's microphone and hit him over the head with it, sir.
Oh. Textbook stuff, William. Yes. Textbook. It says it all, really.
He's executed in exemplary style, too, sir.
Yes. Well, it's so gratifying to feel that you've done some good for a fellow human being, isn't it, William?
Yes, and it's not a situation that often arises in the diplomatic service either, is it, sir? Right, well, shall we go and see Mr. Grimsby, sir?
Grimsby, William, not Grimsby. Do try and get the man's name right.
Hello, Willie. See him off?
Yes, plane's in the air now. He's on his way home. It was all a bit emotional, really. Hanky's out, all that.
What, even your hanky, William? That was a bit of a risk for innocent passers-by, wasn't it?
Oh, thank you, Helen.
And how's your canary, by the way?
Oh.
Still got the run of the place, or have you locked him back in?
No. I mean, he still goes back into the cage for a perch or a snooze, but no, he can come and go.
Bit inconvenient, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is a bit, to be honest. I mean, I have to put newspaper down everywhere. But there you are, Helen. I suppose one person's freedom often is someone else's inconvenience. And he chirps away now, singing all the time. Oh, and you won't believe what he did the other night when I went home.
Cooked your tea for you?
Not quite, no, but he'd laid an egg.
He'd laid an egg?
Yeah, well, obviously I must have made a mistake about that. But there you are, you see. It's sort of made all the difference. Just being able to come and go as you please.
Yes, I suppose you take it for granted, really.
Yes, you do. You don't even think about it until one morning the Amnesty report lands on your desk and you realise that, you know, in half the countries of the world they're nailing up the pig wire and setting the iron bars in concrete, locking you away just because they don't happen to like your opinion. Oh, by the way, I see Mr. Grimsby's sister left her handcuffs chained to the railings out there.
Yes. Yes, she did.
Oh, it's a bit unsightly, really. I suppose old Muggins will have to go out and saw them off. What did she do that for? Did she just forget them?
No, I don't think she forgot anything, Willie. I think she more left them there in case we did.
In Custody by Alex Shearer featured Dinsdale Landon as Mackenzie, Peter Aker as Frost, Moya Leslie as Helen, Christopher Benjamin as Surikoff, and Stephen Greif as Spyro. The producer was Neil Cargill.